I'm gonna stay right on. I'm gonna stay. I'm gonna stay right.
For some time now, the place where our house is in Italy, where my son Daniel is, that area has been in the eye of earthquake. So for several times, there have been earthquakes in that area. The last one that happened, even it hit one of the main universities. So Junior had to call his mates to find out how they were doing. And then last Friday, we came to prayer meeting. And Pastor asked if there are prayer requests. And then there was an edge on me. Brother, take this thing closely and carefully. There was an edge in me that
Amen.
I should put this to request. That the church remembers our son and the people around in that area. And another voice told me, you have been putting too much prayer requests. And so I suppressed it. Amen. Brethren, I made a real big
Amen.
Mistake.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Because I failed to listen to the still
small
voice.
My.
Because what it was telling me was scripture. Because he said we should pray always.
Yes, sir.
And prayer must be given at all times.
Amen.
And so when the voice came, put this request before the church, for the living God, for the church of the living God to pray, I suppressed it. Because listen to the other one, you put in too much prayer request. This early morning, my son called. Our place had been hit with an earthquake.
Oh, Jesus.
And they are now all in the streets because they've been asked not to go into their homes. And our very house has cracked. And the way how he described the whole scene is really the hand of God that has saved them. So now even that house, definitely it will be condemned not to be habited anymore. So, brethren, this an indictment I've taken upon my own self that I fail to listen to the voice of God. So anytime there is any edge,
yes.
When you weigh it and it is scriptural, my brother, go ahead.
Amen.
Amen. And I thank God that he has protected them. They are still now, when we're coming, we have been on the line several times. He's now even going to look where he can even get food to eat. It's really terrible. So we keep on remembering them in prayer. Amen. Brethren, pray for me also that God forgives me.
Amen.
God richly bless you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's sing that song, Thy Loving Kindness, because it's better than life. Amen. Amen. Today, it can be Brother Max's son's earthquake.
Yeah.
But saints, you don't know, maybe it's yours tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
So we just walk right while we can, live right while we can. Amen. Let's take full advantage in his presence. We enjoy ourselves. Because the Lord is looking from above. He says, the worship is nice, but I don't like that one, don't like that one, don't like that one. Ah, such a hypocrite. No, no. Just enjoy while you can.
Yes.
I have a policy. If I'm angry with someone at work, at church, I'll never be angry.
Amen.
If I'm angry else, I must go to the house of the Lord no matter what. I must worship because I don't know when my last number is. Amen.
Amen.
So let's enjoy. Let's sing Thy Loving Kindness, and we'll ask Brother Eli to come sing for us. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you.
We want to praise the Lord with my son James. I didn't really plan to sing today, but yesterday after working hard during the day, I just felt very low. I took my guitar because I wanted to feel closer to God. So I started singing, and James came and joined me, and he asked me actually if we could sing that song in church. So that's what we are going to sing. It's about that still and welcoming voice that makes my heart rejoice even in my sorrows.
Soft as the voice of an angel, breathing a lesson on earth, hope with a gentle persuasion, whisper a comforting word, wait till the darkness is over. Hope for the sunshine tomorrow.
Discovered we have some more diamonds in our midst. We have more untapped resources. Amen. Well done, brother. Keep it up. Come often. Amen. So we'll just sing that chorus. We'll ask our brother to give a testimony.
The Lord knows how to order his things.
Amen.
That Brother Maxwell should come with a testimony, is it?
Amen.
To speak about maybe not listening to the still small voice.
Hallelujah.
And then Brother Eli to bring a song about the still small voice.
Amen.
And then also to bring me here to speak about the still small voice.
Amen.
So I believe that is just a day for that. And I would like to say a testimony in honor of our God, of the things that he has done after I had listened to the still small voice.
Amen.
So, it was on Monday last week. I was at work and I received a call that there was an emergency in the hospital where I had been helping them with some equipment in there. So I had to quickly go there at lunchtime. And I just patched up things so that they could continue to work and how they have the X-ray department connected to the government network. So I went there and just patched up and I said, you can work for now until after hours and then I'll do the proper fix so that this doesn't happen again. So I just waited around in the hospital doing this and that. And so after hours, I began to work on it. But I began to feel pressed to go home. So I told my wife that I'm working late tonight, you know. But somehow I felt like, no, I want to go home. So I went to the CEO, I told her, I said, look, I'm going home. I can't work on this today. I'll let you work on this fix for the whole week. I'll come and do a proper job on Saturday because I'm tired. So she said, okay. So I went home. I put a message there when I was driving home because of traffic. So I kind of like the traffic because I get a lot of time to listen to the message before I get home. So as I was going home there, I seemed to get caught away in the spirit a little bit from the message I was listening to. And still small voice spoke to me that when you get home, a certain sister will come home. She will ask for some help financially and don't refuse her. So I said, well, that's very strange. But so I started to think, how much money do I have before she comes? And being in nearly month and in my current account, I had 150 euro. In my wife's current account, she had 20 euro, I think. So between us, we had about 170, and we had bills that were supposed to be taken on Wednesday for about 130, 140 or so. So we did, so I was like, I can afford to give her 20 when she comes, so that's fine. So I got home, and I was happy to see my kids, and we started to do homework together. And wife was sitting next to me, and then she said, ah, sister so-and-so rang. She said she would like to talk to you at 8 o'clock. She's coming. So it was too much for me. So I got up, I went to the kitchen, and I came back. I said, what do you want to eat tomorrow for lunch when you go to college, you know? And she was surprised because I never do that. She was like, are you all right? Said, yeah, I want to make you lunch for tomorrow, because I was like, I knew something is happening here. So I went into the kitchen, I was making this lunch, and then 8 o'clock came, and the door rang, and the sister came. So we sat in the sitting room, and I knew what her request would be, because the Lord had told me. And so she said her request, and then I said, well, sister, how much money do you want? And I was hoping she would say 20 euro. But she said that she was looking for 500 euro, so I was like, well, the Lord told me not to refuse her. So I said, well, sister, when do you need this money? She said, by Friday. I said, well, I'll give you the money on Friday. I think my wife was surprised because I didn't even ask her or anything. So after she went home, and then I started to think, what will I do now? I started to play around with my budget in my head. When I get paid on Friday, I'll take money from a little bit from the groceries, a little bit from that and that, and this and that. I think we'll make 500 for her, you know. So Tuesday was a normal day at work, and then Wednesday I was at work. Around 3 o'clock, I could see there was some movement among my colleagues, and my manager was moving up, and I could feel he wants to talk to me. And then he went into a room where we have a meeting. Many times when we have clients, we have meetings in there. And then he sent me an IM chat on Skype. He said, Wilmo, can you come over here? I want to talk to you. So I was like, now what did I do? Did the clients complain about me or something? So I went into the room and I sat down there, and then he said, Wilmo, how long have you been with this company? I said, about 2 months. He said, 2 months? Ah, okay. I have recommended to management that they should give you an extra 750 euro on your salary.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, and he said, I'm sure you get it, but because you're only 2 months, maybe they might question me. You might not get it, but I didn't want you to be surprised on Friday when you get your salary and you see there's more money. So I was really, I said, oh, thank God. So I text my wife. I said, look, we offered to help this sister. I didn't know where to get the money. The Lord has given me the money. She said, what do you mean? And I told her. Oh, so we were very happy about it. So I came to church on Wednesday, and I felt like I wanted to testify about it, but somehow things didn't work that way on Wednesday. So I went home, and then on Thursday, I was at work, and I felt like, no, I should tell somebody about this. So I wrote on WhatsApp, and I sent to the deacons and the pastor. I said, look what the Lord has done for me, you know. So I was really happy about it. But as soon as I sent, and Brother David texted back to say, oh, he was very happy about this and what, then the devil came and he says, now you have testified, they are not going to give you that money. You are in a fix now. What will you do about the sister, you know? So just to see the grace of God, They never sent to us our pay slips a day before the payday. But as soon as that thought came into my mind, an email came into my inbox with my pay slip. And there was that increase in my salary. And I was like, oh God, thank you. But what I seen was amazing was that when I looked at the net effect of that salary increment, it was, and the net effect was 550 euro. So the taxman took 200. And I said, oh God is so accurate, because he gave me enough money to pay the taxman and then help the sister with 500 and then the 50 euro to put towards the tithes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. God is good. Amen. We're living in a time where one, two testimonies, they're going to have to come into effect. Go serious. There's some serious times ahead of us, guys. At least it will be good, because wherever you find, the church will be full of people praying always. Like in Zimbabwe, you couldn't get into a church, people were praying always. Hallelujah. We praise God for those testimonies. Let's carry on worshiping the Lord before the pastor comes. Because when we get to the level we ought to, even when the unbeliever comes amidst us, they'll just become believers. There'll be such a presence in us, and we feel we're getting there. Let's keep going. Amen. Let's sing that song, Thy Will Be Done.
I want to die. Hallelujah.
Jesus, I want to die to my will. Robinson plowing corn, the preacher angry, God mad at his mule. Lord, if you don't seal me here and now, you'll find my bones lying next to my plow. Oh, I do good, Lord, when I do good, it was praise. presence I'm a blessed. When I do good, Lord, when I do good in God's presence, in God's presence I'm a blessed. In His presence, in God's presence I'm a blessed.
Good morning, everybody. God bless you this morning. Amen. Wonderful testimonies. It's good to be in His house. Just to say about what Brian Max about the earthquake in Italy. I don't know if you saw the Jewish member of parliament, what he said, and I think it was very true. Last week, there was a bill put through United Nations to say that the Temple Mount had nothing to do with Israel. Israel had no possession of the Temple Mount. And it was voted through, and I think the only five nations that voted against it. One was America, Britain, it was Lithuania, I know it was one of them. But Rome backed the resolution. And straight after that came the earthquake, and then this member of parliament got up in the whatever they call it in the Knesset, and he said, you see, the Bible says if you curse Israel, you'll be cursed. If you bless them, you'll be blessed. And to find so few nations in the world on such an obvious thing.
Amen.
Yeah, but if you think of Daniel 70 weeks, all of Palestine, Israel, belongs to Israel, except for the most holy place. And now you find the Gentiles are trying to hold on to that place. Because once that becomes in the hands of the Jews once again, the Jewish dispensation is finished. Because now Israel has their full inheritance back again. So you find there's such a contention going on. But friends, the best thing that you can do is bless the people of God. Bless the bride. Bless Israel. You know, the world will turn against us just as much as it turns against them. But God will stand by His people. He always does. We just got some requests here. Sister Teresa Mukanya would like to thank the church for their warm welcome. She returns to South Africa next week. So she wants the church to keep her and pray for a safe journey back. Sister Lillian's requesting prayer for her brother in South Africa. He went there alone and got caught up in bad company, was given drugs or substances of some sort, and he seems to be suicidal and needs help. So I want to pray for that. I want to pray as well for Sister Rachel's brother. Very sad. 2.5 years old. He really needs a touch from the Lord. Another sister sent me a photo this morning of the young man. It's very, very sad to see somebody so young and the devil's really trying to take his life. So we want to really unite together in prayer about that. Our visitor, Brother Jacques from Belgium, Brother Jose's cousin. God bless you, bro. God bless you. May the Lord bless you in our midst. And Brother Goran would like to thank the Lord and the saints for all the help given to Andrea during her time with the saints. Hebrews 13:6. So that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 Let's bow our heads. Oh, Father, what a privilege and a pleasure.
Hallelujah.
How many times we think of it, Lord, that where would we be if it wasn't for you?
Yeah.
Father, to see the misfortunes in life. Father, to see the enemy, to see evil, to see sickness. Father, to see all manner of calamities among the sons and daughters of men. And Father, we are so glad that there's one who cares. Father, we're so glad that we can come and cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. We're so glad that there's the Comforter. Oh, Father, where would we be without you? So, Father, even as the prophet says, but not all people have this wonderful Comforter. So, Lord, we want to come and just bring our petitions on behalf of these people. Father, some of them, Lord, so young, like our sister's brother. But Father, where he is now, he needs the Comforter. Father, he needs your grace. He needs your unction. Father, he needs you to smite death. Father, he needs you to drive back evil. Father, that would take him at such a young age. And Father, we just come before your throne of grace. Father, Lord, and our souls just bringing ourselves before thee. Father, knowing surely it's your will, Lord. So, Father, we pray for that young man. Lord, we do pray for Sister Lillian's brother in South Africa. Father, you see what Satan does to the lives of people. Father, we remember when we were back in the world. Father, in darkness, Lord, in confusion. times you could have died, Father. Times, Lord, that you were overtaken by this and by that. But Lord, it's your grace that kept us. Father, it's your grace that has sustained us and brought us thus far. So, Father, we pray for the same grace upon that young man. Visit him with your grace, Lord. Father, we pray that you'd visit every aspect of his life, that you'd speak unto his soul, that you'd deliver him from evil, that, Father, you'd reveal yourself and manifest yourself in his situation. Grant him grace, we pray, Lord. Every other need, our sister traveling back to South Africa, bless her. Father, may she be a blessing. Father, may your blessing go with her and be upon her. Even our sister Lillian, be with her in Zimbabwe. Bless her, we ask and pray. Father, every one of the needs of your people. Father, we thank you for testimonies, Lord, of your faithfulness, of your goodness, that you are Jehovah Jireh, that you see to the need even before we realize the need. Father, thank you for these things, Lord. Won't you bless the reading of your word this day? Help us to be shut in with you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So let's open our Bibles to Book of Revelation, chapter 6. Just an announcement as well for next weekend. We announced it on Friday at the prayer meeting, as we have special meetings next weekend. We have Brother Medson Saidi from Zimbabwe. He's coming to minister to us. He's arriving on Saturday. So we're going to have a Saturday evening service. No prayer meeting on Friday. No meeting on Friday. We'll have Saturday evening at 6 o'clock and Sunday normal service. So we'll have Brother Saidi. We're really looking forward to that. He's across with the saints in England at the moment. So please be in prayer for those meetings, that the Lord's will may be done. So that'll be next Saturday evening and Sunday morning, that special services, and may the Lord bless those services. Revelation 6, let's read from verse 7 to verse 11. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. And when it opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Amen. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated, saints, in Jesus' name today. If I can ask a favor today, if I can just be myself. We need to do some teaching here a little bit. So sometimes you feel pressure when you want to get into the teaching here, because teaching is a little bit different. So we really want to just have a look at something today. Now, there's something which, when you get into these seals, like I said last week, the seals, they open a lot of things. You know, I don't think we realize, none of us realize what the opening of the seals really was. We wouldn't be here. Amen. Because those are the seals of redemption. You know, yes. The full plan of redemption. Yes. God's mind from all eternity towards his sons and his daughters was sealed under those seals. This is the mystery of redemption. And only as a mystery is unveiled to us and we can receive what's enclosed in that mystery, can we benefit from it. That's how we were speaking on Friday at the prayer meeting from Ephesians 1. Now, when Paul, he was praying for the Ephesians, and he says, you know, well, he's in prison and he's praying. And like we said, those were believers he was praying for. Those were spirit-filled believers, the Ephesian church. And he says, "I pray that the Lord will give you the spirit of revelation and of wisdom, that he'll open the eyes of your understanding, that you may know the hope of your calling and of the greatness of his power towards usward who believe." You know, when we got into that, just seeing, and the prophet was speaking of all the different things as well. You know, when the prophet was speaking about if only the church could realize. We looked at a lot of quotes when the prophet said, if only the church could realize. You know, there's something which we need to do, and that's to pray for deeper revelation. Because Paul wasn't praying for the Ephesian church to get anything new. They didn't need anything new. They just needed a deeper revelation of what they already had. They just needed a deeper realization of what the Lord already had done for them. And that's what's under those seals of redemption. And that's why the rapture couldn't come without the seals being opened. Because the church needs to catch the full revelation of what redemption is. Of what Christ has done for us. And the moment we catch that full revelation, because under that revelation, it's a revelation of who we are in Christ. That we are His inheritance. We are the tithings of the people. We His elect. And there's so much you can get in under that. So it's to realize who He is and realize who we are. And that's where the authority comes in. That's why the prophet says if the church could only realize its authority. And all the different things that he speaks about realizing. To realize means to fully grasp. It's to understand something until it becomes a reality. And that's what it is to realize. Then we saw the prophet speaks in the church age book that there's partial realization. We've been living under the ages of partial realization. But then we come to perfect realization. And all the shadows and types, he says in the Bible, were a partial realization. That the tabernacle was a partial realization. It was God revealing things in a shadow and a type. But then in due season, the reality comes. The perfect realization of all the things that were foreshadowed before, those things come in this season. And we're living in that day. This is the day of redemption. You know, we are living in the day of redemption. No other saint could sing that completely the way that we can sing it. We see Israel's redemption is pending. We see the full redemption of the bride, the perfection of the bride. We see all of these things under those seals. Yeah, but as I always say, the prophet speaks in such a simple way that if you're not careful, you can so stumble over the simplicity. But the revelation, when the prophet was waiting upon the Lord and those angels were coming each morning into that room and breaking that mystery of what was under that seal. Now the prophet says, if only I could bring it to you the way that it's revealed to me. Amen. You see, he had break into such a realm. Amen. He had sit in the realm of vision. He'd be in the realm of reality. So he'd be in the presence now of the ball of fire. Them revelations in the presence of that ball of fire. And then he's coming out of that realm now and he's trying to find some way. He said, I'd get my concordance, I'd search it through the scriptures, I'd do different things. He says, trying to find some way now to bring it and express the greatness of that revelation to the people in 1.5 hours, 2 hours of service, what they were taking at that time. How can you take in just in a 2 hour service something which is a mystery of redemption? So you can imagine what's needed in us. We need now get in the Spirit.
Amen.
So when we go and take the simplicity of the revelation of the seven seals, the way that it's presented, that the real truth is between the lines.
Amen.
Or he just says something just in a passing like that, and us, if you're not careful, we'll just pass it by, not realizing that you can take that statement that he said in passing, and you can spend the rest of your life on that statement. Because it's the mystery of redemption. It's not something light or something small. But so many people, and that's when people leave the message. I don't understand what they're thinking about. There's nothing like this message. The revelation in this message. Now people say this vision of the prophet and that what? I don't care about that. Because the revelation of the message, friends, you're never going to find anything else like this. You never will. This is the climax of it. This is the finish of it. But it's so simple. And he hides himself in that simplicity. That's why the prophet preached God hiding himself in simplicity. Amen. But the depth of the revelation inside of there, if he opens the eyes of our understanding, if he gives us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, our friends, there's mighty things inside of the seals. It was such a climax. It was such an epic event.
Hallelujah.
But some people, I remember one brother saying, when he first listened to the seventh seal, and he'd listened to all six seals, and he thought, my, this is going to be so powerful. Then he listened to the seventh seal and he said, what did he say? It's one of those kind of things that you can miss it if you're not careful. Because let's not forget the prophet didn't finish in 1963. He went to 65. So a lot of the things that he said in part, he's going to unfold them and expand and then we get deeper and deeper in them as he continues on now from 1963 to the end of the ministry. But the seals was his adoption. The seals was when he was given the king's sword. The seals was when he really stepped into that realm of the fullness of his calling. Everything else before had been preparatory. had been preparing him. And everything else said before that was very virtuous. But once he got to the seal, something took place. There was something about that event. And friends, without the seals, there was going to be no bride. There's going to be no bride because that's the message. The real message came forth. It's the third pull. That's how the prophet would say, this is that third pull. You know, the first and second pull couldn't bring forth the bride. Because have a look in the scripture there, the way that it speaks about it in the fourth seal. When it says in verse 7, it says, when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast. So what is it that's important to John is the voice of the fourth beast. There was a lot of manifestation in the first and second pull. And friends, we do need that. The healing, the discernment, those things are wonderful. But that wouldn't bring forth the bride. What was going to be to bring forth the bride? It needed the voice of the fourth beast. It needed the voice of the eagle. And that's the message of the hour. The message of the hour is the voice. And there's something about that voice. There's something about the anointing that's upon that voice. It's the voice behind the voice.
Amen.
That's what it is. People can stumble over the prophet's grammar, but it's that voice behind that voice.
Amen.
It's the voice of the fourth beast. That is what attracted John. That is what was addressed to John. And we know John was typing the bride. So there's something about that anointed voice. We'll see it. Now, under this fifth seal, last week we were looking at the cherubim. We saw that around the throne, there's the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle. There's these four anointings. There's these throne guards around the mercy seat. So right beyond the veil, right around the mercy seat, where there's the very Shekinah presence of God, there was throne guards now. The prophet says, these cherubim, they guard the Shekinah glory. So you can't come to the Shekinah glory in your age without the cherubim. That's what he's trying to say. We saw it last week. You can come to the brazen altar. You can come to the brazen laver. You can be justified. You can be sanctified. And that's the foolish virgin. That's as far as she's going to go. But to really come all the way to the Shekinah glory, to come all the way to the tree of life, because you can never separate the cherubim from the tree of life. Whenever the tree of life is spoken about, you're going to find the cherubim are going to be there. Because right from Eden, the cherubim were given the commission. They were to guard the way to the tree of life. So for us to find our way back to the tree of life in our age, we're going to have to somehow find these cherubim and follow these cherubim as they anoint us and usher us all the way back. And that's how we finished last week with Isaiah. We saw that although Isaiah was predestined to be a prophet to the nations, but he wasn't in the condition. He's by the brazen altar. You know, he's a woe is me kind of believer at that time. You know, saying things that he shouldn't. I'm a man of unclean lips and fellowshipping with people that he shouldn't. I dwell amongst an unclean people. You know, if you bring it to our kind of a life that people live, that outer court kind of a worship, though he was predestined, but he was predestined to something far deeper than that. He was predestined so that the tree of life would bring forth fruit through him.
Yes.
He was to bring forth now the mystery of redemption in his age. That a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. That the government shall be upon his shoulders. That there will be a voice crying in the wilderness. That there will be the lion and the lamb. You know, the lion shall lay down with the lamb and so forth. That there will be a new heavens and a new earth. I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. Isaiah 65, 66. He's speaking of the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem. And the whole mystery is there. The prophets is the book of Isaiah, those 66 books. The whole Bible is in the book of Isaiah. It's like a mini Bible within the Bible. But how did that man get into the right condition? He had to have the cherubim, was a seraphim. The prophet says same thing. There had to come a seraph right from the very presence, the Shekinah presence of God, had to come and meet him where he was, and then prepare him, cleanse him, anoint him, commission him, bring him all the way now to the place where he had a boldness before the throne of grace. Because when the voice said, now who shall ascend and who shall go for us, he's now in a condition, here I am, send me. Before he couldn't say that. Before he would have been saying, but who am I? I can't speak for you. Oh Lord, I need to go back and confess this. I need to make this kind of a thing right. But he gets under that anointing. And that's the spirit of adoption to the bride.
Amen.
Where we can now cry, Abba Father.
Amen.
No, it's the spirit of adoption that cries out within us. The spirit of sonship that's inside of us. There's something that brings you beyond the brazen altar. Beyond the realm of judgment all the time. And you're coming into this realm now of this predestined mystery. There's this mystery of your life.
Amen.
There's this mystery of your calling.
Amen.
There's this mystery of, I can hear my theophany calling me. You can hear your theophany calling you. There's something out there that's calling to the soul that's been predestined inside of you. And there's a calling, there's a deep, and it's trying to call you deeper and deeper into the holy place. There's something calling us to come deeper and deeper to the tree of life. Because that's the ministry now of the cherubim. And we saw, who is the tree of life? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Before he was made flesh. He was the beginning of the creation of God. He was the first that came out when God came from being invisible to being visible. Here came Melchizedek. Here came the Logos. Here came the Word. Before the Word was made flesh. That's the tree of life. And anybody who has access unto that tree of life will never die. That's the promise that Jesus said. Jesus says, I am the true bread that comes down from heaven. Anybody that eats of this bread shall never die.
Amen.
You know, I am the true waters of life, yeah? Your fathers are drinking from this fountain, but anybody who drinks from this well here will never thirst again.
Amen.
So there's something about that tree of life. And that's why in the life of a believer, you're never going to be satisfied just with your education.
Amen.
No matter how high you go in whatever place that you're working, no matter how great you may become in your society, no matter how your name may be esteemed, because God can raise his people up to great heights. You can be a Daniel, a prime minister of the nation. But that's not going to be the deep inside of you. Because even when Daniel had such an esteemed position, but where was the man's soul? Where was his soul? It was in the visions of God. It was in the mysteries of his day. With God unveiling to him now the Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and God unveiling into him the kingdoms of the Gentiles and the 70 weeks of Daniel, and he's studying now the books of Jeremiah, the scrolls of Jeremiah. That's where the man's deep was. Because that is what he was called to be, and that is what he was called to do. So all these other things are necessary, but there's one thing that satisfies. And that's why there's something that ministers us there. And the moment you start getting caught up in these other things, you lose purpose. Do you lose focus? Because you're not ordained just unto that. There's something that you've been ordained unto. It's such a high calling. Because like we said last week, when the Logos came out, and from there now the Bible says, through him were all things created. What did he create? He created your theophany. He said, let us make man in our own image. And then your soul now, one of the genes, the attributes of the Most High. Your soul should have gone into your theophany. But it didn't. Your soul instead bypassed that theophany and was put in dust. So there's a soul inside of you, but that soul inside of you knows there's a theophany.
Amen.
That soul inside of you knows I'm not supposed to be in this condition.
Amen.
There's something far higher.
Amen.
There's something far deeper. There's a perfection I'm supposed to be walking in.
Amen.
And while we're walking in this way, that theophany is communicating with us, calling us to that high calling, raising us up to that position that you've been called to from before the foundations of the world. So we can see that this is a real high calling in Christ. You know, but something's got to come and quicken it. Something's got to activate that inside of you. And that's why in each age, God sends from his throne, he sends this unction. He sends this anointing from his throne, the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle, whatever's required to catch his bride at that time. And that anointing will unfold itself through the first pull, the second pull. But then it comes to the real thing, the shout, which is the message of the hour. The prophet says, the shout, the voice, the trumpet. He says, what is the shout? The shout is to gather the living bride. It's the living bread from heaven that gathers them that are alive in Christ. You know, so that's the voice of the fourth beast, is the shout.
Amen.
There has to be a shout to gather the living. There's got to be something to bring the family back together again. The same family that's already gathered in heaven. Friends, where's your theophany today? In heavenly places. It's associating with other theophanies. Because this is just the shadow, that's the reality.
Amen.
So what's happening here, the gathering of the eagles here, is just The natural type of what's happening there. The prophet says the cities here that we are in are but a shadow of that new city. He says this civilization is just a shadow of that faith civilization. He says your body here, if you've got a body that aches and groans and ages, it shows there's a body somewhere that's not like that. And because that soul in you was supposed to have been united with that body, but because of the fall had to bypass that body and came into this body to be tempted, to gain character, to be made perfect by the things that we suffer, there's an earnest groaning inside of us. Paul says that we're groaning to be clothed with immortality so that we be not found naked. That soul is groaning for something. And it needs vitamins, it needs ministry. That soul, so that it can grow up into that image that it's required to be, to unite once again with that theophany at the end. But that's why there's a deep inside of a believer. That's why the prophet says, that chicken and that eagle in the chicken yard, you couldn't expect the chickens to understand it. You can't expect people, friends, if they're not the bride, to understand these things. It's strange things to them. It's not for them. They're not ordained. There's no deep inside of them that's calling for these things. The prophet says, not everybody has representation. But if you have representation, you'll never rest night or day until you fully submit yourself to the will of God for your life. You'll never be satisfied in anything else. You'll try this, you'll try that, it'll satisfy for a season. But if you've got representation, there's a deep that's calling to the deep. And there's a deep inside of you that's yearning and wanting to respond to that deep that's outside of there. So we don't all have that representation. But for those that do have a representation, those are the real sons and daughters of God in each age. And God sends forth His anointing from His throne, sends forth the cherubim to gather each and every one of His children in every one of these ages. That's what this calling is for. Now, in the Revelation series, the prophet, when he speaks about these cherubim, when he says they were the throne guards and so forth, he says the translation in our Bibles. They're called beasts in our Bible. It's not a beast. That was a bad translation by the King James interpreters. None of us have a beast anointing upon us. The real translation is a living creature. It's a living creature. These cherubim are living creatures. And they come from the word, he puts it in the Revelation, says Zoon, Z-O-O-N. That's the real one. And it comes from the word Zoe, which is God's own life. So there's something, God's own life is sent to minister to God's own life. Those attributes, those souls that were in him before the foundation of the world. Yeah, then he scatters them through the ages. Scatters them, some in colored skin, some in yellow skin, some in red skin, some in white skin. Some are tall, some are short, some are fat. None of them like to be fat. But he scatters his seed, he puts these souls right throughout his, to fulfill his purpose. And then that's his life. That's his children, those are his attributes. That's part of him. Just as much as your children naturally are part of you. They came from your loins. They bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. So there's souls, yeah, that are not in prison. There's souls that belong to him. And every single one of those souls, that's God's own life. That's his attributes. That's the way that he wants to express himself, reveal himself in every age. Maybe he wants to reveal himself as Jeremiah the prophet. So he puts attributes inside of the man. It says, before you were born, while you were yet in your mother's womb, I knew you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. So God now from his throne sends these cherubim, the living creature, sends his own life. It's Zoe life. To come to minister to the souls of his sons and daughters. And that Zoe life now does something inside of your soul and ushers you now to the fullness of life, which is the tree of life. But look how he does it. How does he minister the Zoe life? In the message of the hour. That's the amazing thing. He sends a message to every age. But there's an anointing upon that message. Now, you have a lot of messages in this age. You'll have Tommy Osborne has his message. You have Oral Roberts has his message. You know, they're all taking scriptural things from the Bible. But there's only one message in each age that is anointed with Zoe life.
Amen.
It's got Zoe life inside of that message.
Amen.
And that message will bring forth the fruits of the tree of life.
Amen.
In the sons and daughters of God. There's something about that. That's why I'm saying the anointing that's upon this message, the eagle anointing, that's Zoe life in this message.
Amen.
If you and I can get in the spirit of the message, you know what it does to you.
Amen.
It totally separates you from this world.
Amen.
It totally delivers you from the evils of this day and from the God of this evil age. That's the anointing that's in this message. And that's why it was the voice of the fourth beast that spoke to John. It's the voice. There's something about that anointed voice. It's anointed with Zoe life. And God sends forth this manifestation to attract the people, first and second pull. And then comes the voice of the sign.
Yes,
then comes the real purpose now.
Hallelujah.
This is the thing that's going to catch the elect.
Amen.
Remember when he saw the third pull, the first time, 56, the vision of the tent vision. And the angel said, I'll teach you how to fish.
Amen.
And then he sent out his lure and then he gave the first pull. He says, the first pull it attracted the small fish.
Yeah.
Then the angel told him, okay, now, second time, pull a little bit of harder. It'll scatter the little fish and draw the attention of the rainbow trout.
Amen.
He says, and then when the rainbow trout come, that's the third pull. The third pull will catch them.
Amen.
Can you see what catches the bride?
Amen.
It's the third pull. That's what it is. It's the real manifestation of the cherubim. It's the real manifestation of what God has manifesting from the tree of life to you. And that'll catch the souls of the sons and daughters of God at every age. Every age. And that's the shout to gather the living. That's how John came, a shout to cry in the wilderness, the eagle anointing upon the man. What did he do? He gathered the elect. That's when Jesus came, the tree of life made flesh. And all the 70 got offended. And Jesus said to the real rainbow trout, said, do you want to go as well? They said, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. They recognized they were partaking of the tree of life. Where can we go? The prophet says they were saying, where can we go to find something like this? And that's the real testimony of the bride. You can't move the bride from the message. You'll never be able to do it. Now, the word beast in the book of Revelation is a different word. He shows us in Revelation chapter 4, part 3, throne of mercy, paragraph 252. He says, you look in Revelation 11, Revelation 13, 11, Revelation 17, where beast is. That's the Greek word therion, which means a wild, untamed beast. That's on the Gentile nations. That's what's happening in America now. It's a manifestation of therion. It's wild and untamed. The governments of the world, you know, the Hollywood, the system, entertainment systems of this world are so anointed by therion anointing. It's wild. It's a savage anointing. That's why they'll take the music back to the jungles of Africa and they call it new kind of music. Yeah? They take it back. It's like there's an anointing in this age. The prophet says it's bringing them to Armageddon. That's what it's going to do. He says, therion is wild, untamed savages. In other words, he said, in other words, if you watch the 13th chapter, the beast of Rome, 13th chapter, the beast United States. So we can see what's happening with these nations. That's why, friends, this world is not our home.
Amen.
We'll never be at home here. You'll never agree with the politics of this age. You'll never agree with the laws which they pass. Because we're from another life. We came from another place. We're anointed with a different life. We're going to a different destiny at the end of this age. We've heard a shout. We've heard a voice. We're eating of the tree of life. Friends, that's a high calling. That's a high calling. That's how we read the quote on Friday where the prophet says, if you could only realize who that is sitting next to you.
Yes, sir.
He says, you look and say, that's my neighbor. He says, no, that's a son or a daughter of God.
Amen.
That's someone under a high commission and a high calling. He says, if you could only realize who these people are that you're associating
Amen.
With,
Amen.
We wouldn't wah-wah-wah sometimes so much about one another
Hallelujah.
If we realize what God thought about us.
Amen.
if you realize what's beyond that veil, that there's something so eternal within that veil. There's something that came from God that is deposited within that veil. The prophet says, if only we could realize that. So it's the voice of the eagle. Now, let's compare these two altars now. Because there's two altars now in the tabernacle. Maybe it'll help us to understand a little bit how God has unveiled his mystery. Look in verse 10, chapter 6, verse 10. Let's just read once again this fifth seal, verse 9 and verse 10. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, the prophet straight away in the fifth seal picks something up and he says, there's no living creature. The first seal, yeah? Let's read it for those that are new. Look in chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, the first seal, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see.
Amen.
So the first age, yeah, the first seal, going out to those first ages, now the anointing of the lion, there was a cherubim associated with that seal. Then the second one in verse 3, when it opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. Then the third seal, verse 5, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. Then in our seal, verse 8, verse 7, when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. But now when you get to the fifth seal, verse 9, there's no come and see. So we're going to find a people here, yeah, that because there's no living creature, because nothing's been released from the throne to them, they've never come to the tree of life.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Yet they're God's people.
Yes, sir.
We're going to find these are God's people. The prophet says every one of them is written in the book.
Amen. Amen.
But the only reason you're going to find they behave the way they do, they see things the way that they see them, and they're going to miss a lot of wonderful things in the kingdom of God is because of one thing, is that they never had the cherub sent to them.
Amen.
It's so simple. Look at it. It says, when you open the first seal, I saw under the altar. So we're going to see this is the first altar. This is the brazen altar. So we can see where these people are. That the brazen altar. They're not in there by the mercy seat. They're not under the wings of the cherubim. They're not by the golden altar, the incense. They haven't been raised into the realm of adoption. But they're within the tabernacle. They've come through the door. They're at an altar. They've been accepted. You know, they're going to come into life at the end. But there's no adoption for them.
Amen.
There's no high calling for them.
Yes, sir.
There's no hearing from their theophany for them.
Amen.
My. So I'm just trying to show you here how important these cherubim are.
Amen.
How important the message of the hour is, friends.
Amen.
You may think it's optional to accept this and that. No.
Amen.
That's not how it works in the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
If you want to worship God, you've got to come His way.
Yes.
God has only one provided way for anything.
Hallelujah.
This isn't like Cain coming with whatever you want to offer. No. God comes and shows you the way. God comes and visits you and prepares you to come in. Because no man comes unto my Father, unto me, unless my Father calls him first. That's why, friends, if we can just realize that this, even the tabernacle, the cherubim are going to show us what grace we have. What grace that we have. Because these are God's children we're reading about. This is Israel. This is the 12 tribes of Jacob. These are not lightweight people. This is the olive branch, the natural olive branch. We're the wild olive branch that was grafted in our natural temperament. This is Israel. But God doesn't permit them to go beyond the golden altar, the brazen altar. Oh, now look how the prophet explains it to us. Look at it first of all, we'll see by their attitude in verse 10. They're crying out, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood? No person who's partaken of the tree of life will pray like that.
Amen.
No one has partaken of the tree of life. No one has been raised into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Nobody who's really at the mercy seat could ever think like that.
Amen.
It shows these people have never really come to the mercy seat. They've never. My. And that's why when you find people wanting to judge and condemn and so forth, friend, you're just testifying against yourself. That you're not living at the mercy seat. You're just testifying by your fruits. These are not the fruits of the tree of life. These people, because these are the Jews that were slaughtered, yeah? The prophet says, right the time from the death of Christ, right to the coming of Christ. These are the Jews who died. It says, typed by those who Eichmann and Hitler, Mussolini put to death.
Yes, sir.
So they were put to death. Their blood was shed like the blood being shed at the brazen altar. Yeah. They were sacrificed for what they believed because they stood true to what they believed. But friends, they never came to the tree of life. They never were ushered in. Therefore, they still wanted vengeance. They still wanted judgment upon people. And it shows, if you put our slides, Zebra, I'll just show where we are here. Look at the type of prayer which they're praying. It's prayer of judgment.
Yes, sir.
What is brass? Judgment.
Right.
So it shows this is the realm where they're dwelling. They're dwelling in the place of judgment. So if you go to the... Sorry, I think the brother said this is working now. Okay, so we saw Isaiah with the cherubim. Yeah, preparing him last time. So this is the brazen altar. But then we're going to see there's another altar.
Yes, sir.
Which is the golden altar. There's only two altars in the tabernacle. And these souls are under this altar. Crying, how long, Lord, will you not avenge our blood and judge them? When you pray like that, the prophet says it. We've read the quote many times, Great Commission. No man can stand in the presence of God and condemn another mortal.
Amen.
It's impossible to be partaking of the tree of life and then to judge somebody else.
Amen.
You can't do it.
Amen.
You can't do it. Look at Acts chapter 7. Leave the slides, bro. Let's just read. Sister, please leave the slides. We'll read Acts chapter 7. The prophet shows. Look at the fruits of the tree of life. Because when the tree of life was planted once again in the dust of the earth on the day of Pentecost, look at now these people under the anointing of the lion now. These, the early church that were partaken, ushered by the cherubim, right to partake of the tree of life in their age. This is Stephen now when they're stoning him. Acts 7 verse 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice. He really meant what he was praying.
Amen.
He cried with a loud voice,
Amen.
Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That's the fruits of the tree of life. Because when the tree of life was put on the Roman tree, that's exactly how he was. Christ, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. The Bible says, Isaiah 53, he made intercession for the transgressors. That's the attributes of the tree of life. So you can see from the lives of people, from their conduct, from their behavior, you can tell where they're living. But friends, you can never live any higher than God grants you grace. You can never. The church can only do one thing, and that's to respond to the anointing, the prophet says. All we can do is respond to the eagle anointing. That's what we are born unto. That's what you're predestined to do. That's what our souls are ordained to do. Is just to yield ourselves unto the eagle anointing.
Amen.
And then all of the fruits of the tree of life which we are to manifest, you don't produce them. The prophet says the mule, the lamb cannot produce wool. The tree doesn't produce fruit, it bears fruit.
That's right.
It comes from within, and everything which we are to produce. That's why we said it on Friday. The most important thing, friends, we need is that spirit of revelation.
Amen.
That spirit of revelation, because there's a quickening power in revelation. Revelation has stimulation. Revelation has the power of transformation.
Amen.
Revelation gives you authority over the devil, and that's not your worst enemy. You are your own worst enemy.
Amen.
So when you partake in of the tree of life, when you partake in of the reality of the Christ in your age, yeah, you eating, you partaking of him, the manna, the hidden manna in your age, it gives you authority over your worst enemy. Is that not true?
That's right.
Friends, and you really partaking of this message. And you in prayer and you yield it to the Lord and you're feeding on the message of the hour. Ah, friends, that's a sweet kind of a life to live. You may have afflictions all around you, afflictions in your body. You may have trouble on every hand like Paul did. That doesn't affect you. Because you're in a certain place that you're shut in. And what you're eating now, you're going to be bringing forth and manifesting whatever fruit that you ordained to manifest in your age. If you're a musician, you're going to bring forth songs from the tree of life. And how do you know that those songs are coming from the tree of life? Because the sons and daughters of God are going to receive and rejoice. You know, whatever that you call to do, you're going to find there's going to be a witness, yeah? There's going to be a witness amongst the elect, because they're going to be partaking of those fruits and they're going to be saying, it's good. The way the Lord looked down and said, it's good. And that's what you want to do. The prophet says, if you want to know if you're called to do something, go and do it. If God blesses it, God called you to do it. If He doesn't bless it, He didn't call you to do it. And it's not if you feel blessed when you're doing it. Yeah, it's if God blesses it. And God blessing it means it's going to be a blessing to His people. It's going to edify the body of Christ. It's going to do something to His people. And that's the fruits of the tree of life. And friends, let's keep ourselves there. The prophet says many new things are going to come.
Yes, sir.
Oh, friends, there's new things all over. Now we have to change our worship and we have to follow other people, others we're not in the bride. And now we have to follow some other man who's sent to perfect the bride. Let me tell you one thing. That's nonsense. Nonsense. Never believe such things as that. Never. All we need is the anointing of the eagle. That's it. And the anointing of the eagle comes into His ministry. And then comes into the gifts in the body. And comes into the offices and administrations. We said the music ministry, the prophet said. There's different ministries. But it's to edify Christ. It's to bring people to one center of attention, the tree of life Himself. If you find me pointing to myself, don't ever follow me. Don't ever follow me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow, he says, they glorified Christ in me. That's what it's got to be, friends. We've got to be careful. Because these things, they rise up. And they're so anointed, some of them. They're so powerful, some of them. Gifted men, powerful men. But they want to lead people, make disciples. And for themselves. Paul warned us about those things after my departure, after the messenger goes off the scene. Grievous wolves, but they're wolves in sheep's clothing. They'll rise up to draw disciples to themselves. And now in the bride, we have groups now. And we the foolish virgin and they the wise virgin. Oh, friends, I don't think that's right. I think we should come to the tree of life. We should pray for those people. But I don't want anything to do with that. Those people with that anointing on them like that one of division and so, I don't want anything to do with it. We don't have enough time in this life to get ourselves caught up in those kind of things. We only get one chance at this. So let's keep our eyes on the prize. Let's stay within the simple old message of the hour. It'll bring forth of its own kind. If we need something, let's do like we said on Friday. Let's pray for the spirit of revelation. Pray for the spirit of wisdom. Let's pray that He'll open the eyes of our understanding. The prophet says, if God has anything for you, He knows how to get it to you. He knows exactly what we need. But friends, be careful. Be careful. Satan knows his greatest desire is to take us away from the tree of life. It's always been his aim since the beginning. So what does he do? He makes another tree now. And it's good to the eyes. Yes, it'll make you wise. No, it's got more. You'll be cleverer than you were over there. You know, when you were eating just off that tree of life, no. Come and eat and you'll be wise. You'll be like God. Oh, friends, and it's very tempting. It's tempting because natural man loves power. Natural man loves authority. But I only want God-given power. I don't want Him to give me more power than I'm able to handle. Because the power will destroy me. So He knows how much character I have. So He knows how much power He can give me. He knows how much authority I can bear. He knows how much authority that you can bear. So if you're saying, God, why aren't you giving me more? Maybe the Lord's looking and saying, hey, you need to mature a little bit more first. You need to lay in the presence of the sun. Let some of the greenness be baked out. Because the amount that He's going to release to us, if He loves us, You know, the hear ye him. He's going to be watching us and testing us to see what are we going to do with the power. What are we going to do with the authority that he gives to us? He knows the right pace, friends. Abraham wanted to run ahead. Sarah wanted to run ahead. They wanted to manufacture something. It seemed to be taking too long. And they made an Ishmael. Yeah. But God knew there was coming an Isaac. And to the bride, there's an Isaac, friends. There's an Isaac. Let's just wait for Isaac. Let's not worry about Ishmael. Let's wait for Isaac. That's all that we need. God has given us everything. And that's why the prophet, when you read questions and answers on the seals, right at the beginning, he warns the bride. He says, be careful. He says, especially when I preach that seal this evening, the seventh seal. He says, because you will say, he says, I can feel it in you. Are we not supposed to? Are we not? He says, no, stop right there. He says, just keep believing the same old message. He says, don't work yourself up into something. He says, you'll make it into a cult. He says, we've done it every time. He just says, just stay simple. Just stay humble. Ah, friends, that's the key. But this doesn't want to stay simple. This doesn't want to stay humble. This sometimes think it knows better than somebody else. This sometimes think it can see more than the other people see. That's why we need to then get ourselves back to the tree of life.
Amen.
Get ourselves back unto the anointing of the Shekinah. Where we realize that we nothing but He's everything.
Amen.
That His strength is made perfect in weakness.
Hallelujah.
That His grace is sufficient for us. And that's why He puts afflictions many times among the sons and daughters of God. You'll never find your life is easy because He wants to keep you depending on Him.
Amen.
Otherwise you become like King Uzziah and you think you can do everything when your soul wasn't ordained to do everything.
Amen.
And you'll get yourself out of harmony with your theophany and all manner of troubles are going to start coming in now. Like the prophet when he got out of his position and listened to his mother-in-law. And he didn't listen to what his theophany was speaking to him. And he got himself out of tune and the vibration in his soul wasn't the frequency that it should have been at that time. Because God had brought him now to eagles in that time, in the 1930s. God had appointed him to go to those people. And when he went to those people in Mishawaka and he preached, God did something. Something struck inside of those people. Something struck inside of the prophet. He said, I've always been looking for a people like this. And although they didn't know, those people were always looking for him as well. They were always looking for him. And God brought the two together. The deep to minister to the deep. But the devil will never leave it like that. He wants to complicate things up. He wants to get you off track, sidetracked, and other things. Ah, friends, let's keep our focus by the grace of God on these things. So the prophet tells us in the fifth seal, he says, now, who are these people? He says, they are Israel that's under this altar. He says, watch Israel. Now, how he explains it? Was blinded for the very purpose of us being saved. So it's blinded Israel under this altar. If God didn't blind them, they would have gone a lot deeper.
Yes, sir.
That's an incredible thing to think about.
Amen. He loves us.
My.
Amen.
Because of His love for you,
Amen.
He blinded His own children,
Amen.
The His natural children.
Hallelujah.
Because they wanted the tree of life.
Amen.
They from the book of life.
That's right. Amen.
They desired it. They were seeking for something. But listen how he did it. The prophet says, no wonder Jesus standing there at the cross and them Jews howling for his blood. That was his own kids.
Amen.
And he was the scripture.
Yes, sir.
He was himself the word. And here he, knowing that those people would have gladly received him.
Yes, they would.
That's the reason he blinded them.
Hallelujah.
So they wouldn't recognize him.
Thank
How? He came in such a humble way and blinded them.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, friends. That's why he preaches God in simplicity.
Amen.
This is the seventh seal.
Hallelujah.
The coming of the Lord. But he comes in such a humble way that it blinds the foolish virgin. It blinds the Gentiles now. Because the Gentiles have to be blinded now so that the Jews can come back in.
Amen.
Just as much as when the tree of life was made flesh, in perfect flesh at that time, in the Son of God.
Yeah?
When he came and there were those attributes, the fruits of the tree of life, speaking to the storm, feeding the 5,000, raising of the dead, the power of the spoken word. Those were the fruits of the tree of life.
Amen.
They would have seen it. They would have recognized it, but God had to do it so simple, so humble, that Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem, but they thought that he was from Nazareth.
Amen.
And then the people were looking in the scripture saying, in the Sanhedrin council, yeah? When they say, maybe he is a prophet, yeah? And then Caiaphas and them are coming, hitting him on the head. Show me in the scripture where it says, the Messiah shall come from Nazareth. Yeah? That's what they were saying.
That's right.
Nobody comes from Nazareth. Show us
Hallelujah.
In the scripture.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's how he blinded them.
Amen.
Oh, friends. But to his elect, Simeon, Anna,
Amen.
The shepherds,
Amen.
Oh, he broke a seal to them.
Hallelujah.
He sent an anointing to them.
Thank you, Jesus.
They were under expectation. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel because it had been revealed to him that he should not die until he sees the Lord's Christ. And then he's raised by the Spirit, brings him. What does the anointing bring him straight to? To the tree of life.
Amen.
Though the tree of life was in its infancy, then it was in Mary's arms. Simeon was ushered right to the tree of life. It never stumbled him. When others were expecting the Messiah to come from glory, expecting to come down, destroy the Romans. He was going to be this mighty man that the world's looking for. Now every 2,000 years, the world falls apart and they look for a Messiah, the prophet says. They look for some big man, like Hitler and so forth, to fix all the problems. They were expecting a man like that. But God gave them a baby.
Amen.
The prophet said it was a super sign. It was a super sign. We'll see it next time by the grace of God. It's a super sign that sent to a super race.
Amen.
It's a super race.
Hallelujah.
Oh, friends, there's a super race in every age.
Amen.
But the way that Hitler thought of the super race was the Aryan race. Blue eyes, blonde hair, conquering the world. That's not God's super race.
Amen.
Let's look at the leader of the super race, the king of the super race himself, Jesus. Let's see what kind of life that he lived. Yeah, but there's a super race. There's a people who are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, word of his word. Oh, and the eagle always, the eagle anointed, the cherubim in each age comes to the super race. It comes to gather the super race and attracts them by using a super sign. And they have a super sense which allows them to see the super sign and bring them now to the tree of life. And as they partake of the tree of life, they become the super race. And who is the super race? Them with representation.
Amen.
The super race is waiting. Your theophany is waiting, friends.
Thank you, sir.
In the beginning, he created the super race.
Yes, Jesus.
He created a race, sons and daughters of God.
Hallelujah.
Straight from his bosom, he created your theophanies.
Amen.
Waiting there. And then he put that soul inside of you.
Amen.
That soul, friends, testifies you from a super race.
Hallelujah.
It's not what the world thinks a super race is, but this is God's super race.
Amen.
And the bride is the super race. Oh, friends, I'm so glad to be associated with such people.
Amen.
I'm very glad to be associated with such people. So how did he blind them? By coming in such a humble way. And what about, and that was the seventh seal at the end of the Old Testament. That was the coming of the Lord. Look how he came. He came so humble. But he came and achieved such a powerful redemptive purpose at the time, Jesus. When he went to Calvary, yeah, when the graves were opened, the resurrection came forth. But he came in such a humble way, to such a humble people.
Amen.
That's how people look and say, you people say you're the bride, yeah?
Bride.
These mega churches full of people. They've got scarlet covered carpets.
Wow.
They've got choirs in robes, yeah?
Bride.
That's what the natural man looks at.
Yeah.
But the super sense inside of you is not looking for that.
Amen.
The super sense inside of you is looking for the reflection of the word.
Amen.
Because the word will only recognize the word.
Amen.
That's why you will recognize the word in your age.
Hallelujah.
Every one of the super race will recognize Christ in their age.
Amen.
Will recognize Christ in their age. But
yes.
It blinds the people. It blinds
Amen.
The people. Now, the prophet says, now, for they at this time, if you notice, the fifth seal being opened, the church is gone. They can't be the early church. Because everyone else thinks they were the early church. These cannot be the righteous martyred, the early church. Because the church, the bride, has done been took up.
Yes, sir.
So they wouldn't be under this altar.
No.
They would be in glory with the bride.
Amen.
Oh, friends. These people are in the sixth dimension.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They're not in the fifth dimension, the regions of the lost.
No.
They're in the tabernacle.
Hallelujah.
But then a certain part of that dimension.
Amen.
Yeah?
Amen.
They never came up higher to go to the other part.
No.
But then a certain part. That's what's typed in the tabernacle, that they're under the altar. And to prove that this is Israel, if you go and read about this altar, what did they do? It was an altar of sacrifice,
yes,
the prophet says.
Amen.
There were different vessels which they had to make to catch the blood. And then they would pour out the blood at the base of the altar, which types being under the altar.
Amen.
And then they had certain pans and certain shovels and things to take the ashes from the altar. And the offering on this altar was called the burnt offering. The Hebrew word is the olah. And that is the same word as the Holocaust. It's exactly the same word. And the Jews, what does the prophet say? They gassed them, yeah? They burnt them until they were ashes. They shed their blood. And that's why these Jews under this altar, you can really see the prophet was 100% right.
Hallelujah.
When it says, it's those that were martyred by Eichmann and Mussolini,
yes,
and Hitler.
Yes,
in the Holocaust. It was like a type of a burnt offering. And the ashes, we went to Auschwitz. There's certain places they say, please do not walk here because there's still ashes of the people. There's certain places that you can't go. Friends, it's a serious place. And their blood would be taken, was poured out under the altar. That is what God had for them. But he had something greater for us. The prophet says the problem is they can't be the bride because they weren't caught up. Let's look in Revelation chapter 1. He explains that to us. Revelation chapter 1. When John in verse 10 is in the Spirit on the Lord's day, yeah? And he hears a voice, verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. So the first thing that happens to John, who's the bride, is there's a voice. And the prophet says in a Revelation series, we've quoted it many times, he says, Brother Charlie, that same voice that turned you around when you were down there in Kentucky.
Amen.
So that's the beginning of it.
Amen.
He hasn't yet come to the place that he's supposed to be. But there's a certain voice. It's the voice of the trumpet.
Amen.
And when he hears the voice and he turns around, what does he see? He sees Christ in his age. He sees Christ in the midst of the candlesticks. That's the voice, friends. Every single one of the bride has already, if you've been turned around, heard that voice. But that's not where that voice ended. The prophet says the church was caught up in Revelation 4 verse 1. Revelation 4 verse 1, after this I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was that were a trumpet talking with me which said, come up higher and I will show you things must be hereafter. So the same voice in due season, the same one that turns you around is the same voice that says, come up higher. That's how we're saying it's not something new that we need. We just need a deeper something of that voice. You just need a deeper quickening power, a deeper something of the Zoe life that's inside of that voice. Because that same voice that turns you around is the same voice that's going to say, come up higher. Exactly the same one. He says, real true Jews down there. They had their names on the book. They lived the right kind of life, did the right thing, lived Judaism to the dot. But they were martyred by Eichmann and many others. He burned them up, cremated them and everything else. But see one thing which they did. They lived what they believed.
Amen.
They were blinded, but everything which had been revealed to them, they lived it until they were willing to die for it.
Yes, sir.
They were willing to die for what they believed. Many of them compromised. Lost their names, yeah? But the real genuine Jew, he was ordained unto the word that he received. And because he was faithful to it, God doesn't forget them. So what does God do to them? He gives them a white robe. It says, and white robes were given unto them. Now you'll see one more thing here. Unless the cherubim come to you and bring you into the tree of life, you don't get a white robe. You don't get a white robe. And without this garment, the white robe becomes the wedding garment as well. You notice that these Jews, because they stopped here, what do they miss? They miss the rapture. They can't be in the rapture. They're not in the come up higher. They're not caught up into that realm. They miss the wedding supper because they don't have the wedding garment on. Yeah? They miss the millennium. And they only come up at the white throne judgment. And that's when they're given white robes. They're given eternal life and they're ushered into eternal life. And they live outside of the city. My. And what made the difference? They didn't have a cherubim. They didn't have a cherubim. But let's have a look now at when the cherubim comes. Look at Exodus 30 verse 3. We'll take a little bit and we'll close and finish again next time. Exodus 30 verse 3. The prophet says the church has been taken up. Where have they been taken up to? Exodus 30. Let's have a look at the characteristics of this altar now. Right before the presence of God. Exodus 30 verse 3. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. That's deity, eh? The top thereof and the sides thereof round about and the horns thereof. And thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about it. So this altar is crowned. It's made of gold and it's crowned. Now the prophet says, whenever you find crowns, yeah? Whenever you find thrones, he says it's not speaking about angels. Because thrones and crowns are not for angels. He says crowns and thrones are for overcomers. So once we start getting into this realm, it's the realm of the overcomer. It's the realm now of he that overcomes shall partake of the tree of life. He that overcomes shall sit with me in my throne. So there's a certain type of an overcoming. So he's going to send the anointing, the cherubim to you. He's going to meet you where you are. Then he's going to start to tutor you. He's the great tutor. That anointing, that unction has the responsibility, has that commission to bring you right to the throne. Right to the throne. Just as much as when Samuel came and anointed David, yeah? The prophet came, the eagle anointing anointed David. From that time, the Spirit came upon him. The prophet left, but now that anointing was upon David. Amen. That eagle anointing, which Samuel had seen in the vision, he now anointed him. That anointing that was upon David was going to take him to the throne.
Amen.
There was nothing going to stop him getting to the throne, David. Because that's what he was appointed unto. The prophet was sent to him. He was anointed. He was quickened. And then he started to see the manifestation start inside of his own life. Then he goes and he slays Goliath. When the rest of the people now, they're scared of Goliath. You find he slays Goliath. What was that? That wasn't David as a man. That was that anointing that was upon the man. And it didn't stop just with him. Because in every age, God gathered his elect under that anointing. So here comes David. Samuel anoints him. He now becomes a rejected king.
Amen.
And who hears about him now?
Yes, sir.
Gentile warriors.
Amen.
The prophet says they realize the anointing is upon this man. You find people from the tribe of Benjamin, from Saul's own tribe, his relatives, leaving under threat of their own lives, coming to David out in the forest. Yeah, coming out to him. The prophet says they recognize the anointing was upon him. And the prophet says, and the anointing is upon the message of his coming.
Amen.
So you find every one of the elect in that age who had a representation, once that anointing came and started to manifest itself, there was a deep inside of them. They left what they were in, sometimes at great cost. And they came now and associated themselves with the son of David, the rejected king. Living in the forest and all the different things which they were having to do. But the prophet says, when he came in power, David, he appointed them over cities.
Amen.
They were his mighty men.
Amen.
Ah, friends, that's the super race.
Amen.
That's the super race in every age. God pours out the anointing of the age. God anoints the vessel. David was to be king. Yeah? The prophet anoints him in that age. The message goes forth and it attracts the attention and it gathers now all those people that should be gathered. Listen what the prophet says when he went beyond the curtain of time. He takes it in the fifth seal. He says, look, John saw his people under that altar. He says, I also saw my people under the altar. Listen how he explains it. We'll finish with this thought here. He says, when I was caught up there, I thought, now this is strange. And then a voice went to talking to me. I never did see the voice. You have been gathered to your people. And the voice said, you've been gathered to your people like Jacob was gathered to his people. Oh. So the prophet's getting to a place here now, and he's being told, just as with the prophets, in another message he says, the voice said, you've been gathered just as the prophets were. And then here he's saying, just like Jacob. So what happened in every age? God gathered his people. God gathered his people. God would send a prophet. God would send an Abraham. And he has Eliezer. He's not even a Jew. There's no Jews at that time yet. But he sees the anointing upon this man. And when this eagle anointing comes upon Abraham, and God starts to manifest himself, reveal himself at that time, every single one of the people that representation in that age, they're attracted to that. And here comes Eliezer, leaving whatever he was, Eliezer of Damascus, yeah? He's coming from Damascus. And he takes his position and he finds his place under Abraham. Amen. And then there's 318 other young men. And they find their position now under Abraham. And the prophet says, now beyond the curtain of time, he says, you gathered with your people just as much as they gathered with their people. Oh, friends, that's a gathering. That's the real gathering of the saints. That's a gathering of the eagles. We can take it on down. You can take it down to Solomon. He comes, he was the eagle, yeah? He was a type of Christ. He was the son of David. He erects the tabernacle. The Shekinah glory comes down. The Queen of Sheba hears of it. She hears of that manifestation. She comes from the furthest part of the earth to come and see that. This is not powerful. That's when the prophet always say that, look at the Queen of Sheba. Then he'll say, they come from the east and west.
Amen.
They come from the lands afar.
Amen.
To feast with the king, to dine as his guests.
Amen.
How blessed these pilgrims are.
Amen.
Oh, so when the prophet gets there, he says, you've been gathered with your people. He says, are these all Branhams? He says, no, they're your converts to Christ.
Wow.
They're your converts to Christ.
Amen.
So that anointing of the cherub, when it comes, it anoints the messenger, the prophet. And then it gathers everybody. That's the shout, gathering the living. And then as the people pass off the scene, they're gathered beyond the curtain of time. And the prophets are now gathered with their people.
Amen.
And people say, you don't need a prophet. And people say, you don't need the message of the hour.
Hey.
And people say, you don't need the cherubim. Friends, there's nothing without these cherubim. Without the cherubim, this is as far as you're going to go. Because I'll show you one more thing here. The foolish virgin are gathered in exactly the same place. We'll see it next time. Because they too were blinded, the prophet said.
Amen.
He says they were blinded. But being sincere people, being faithful to what they believed, serving God to the best that they knew, they gathered in the same place under that altar.
Amen.
My. Because they never had the cherub. They never had the eagle anointing this age come and minister them and usher them all the way to the tree of life. So they stay there as well. They miss the rapture.
That's right. Amen.
They're not at the wedding feast.
Mm-hmm.
They're not in the millennium.
Right.
They come up at the white throne as well.
Amen.
And they judged by their attitude towards the word in their day, the prophet says,
Amen.
By the living word in their day.
Amen.
They'll be judged by what attitude they had towards the bride. Towards the word that was made flesh. Ah, friend. If you look at the person sitting next to you, I'm telling you one thing. You're underestimating who that person
Amen.
Is. You're underestimating the importance of that person
Amen.
In the kingdom of God.
Amen.
The importance of that person, even now, the prophet says, the only thing that holds back judgment in this age is the bride. She is the representation of the blood on earth, and God cannot judge through the blood. He has to take the blood out of the way. He has to take the living word out of the way, and then he pours his judgment upon the Gentiles. And the people look at you and say, you're such a fool. They'll say, you're such a fool. And the reason you don't say back to them, you're such a fool, is because you've been partaking of the tree of life. But many times you think it in your mind to say, but he... I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? Oh, friends, this is foolishness. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that are perishing. But to us that are being saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. This message is foolishness to so many people. But to us, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to us in our lives. Nothing greater ever happened to us than that God brought us to this tree of life message. Oh, friends, salvation was so powerful to us when Christ did first. But this is the continuation of his work. Hallelujah. This is the unfolding of his mystery of redemption. Not just that he shed his blood for us, but that he comes and he ushers us all the way to the throne. Amen. That's his desire, friends.
Amen.
Oh, so the prophet says, you see, you've been gathered. He says, you see, speaking of his people, it was below the altar, the sixth place where men go, not the seventh where God is, the seventh dimension. Now we'll finish just with that thought, and I'll really explain it next time. Let's come back to this picture here. So the prophet's saying to us here, there's the dimension where God is. So when the saints were caught up and the prophet was caught up beyond the curtain of time, what did he say? He said, I want to see Jesus. He says, you can't see him now. He's a little bit higher. So, in the type of the tabernacle, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest, where would he go? He alone could go in here, into the throne room. So the saints gathered beyond the curtain of time now, they're not yet in the throne room. Your soul comes to the mercy seat. Your soul comes to the Shekinah glory. But when you get there, the prophet says, I want to see Jesus so bad. He says, he meant everything to me. And that says, you can't see him now. He's a little bit higher. The prophet says, they were in the sixth dimension.
Amen.
That's how we'll see it next time. I'll prove it to you. They are under this altar.
That's right.
When the prophet speaks of, I went beyond the curtain of time. I'll read just a couple of quotes just to show that what I'm saying. He says, you see, it was below the altar. That's where he went. But he didn't go below this altar. He went below another altar. And the altar that he went to was the closest place you can get to before you see Jesus. Before you get into the throne room. And then he said, I want to suggest, no, Jesus will come one of these days. And he'll take us from here. And we'll go back to earth and we'll get our bodies. That's what he says. And that's why this altar is gold and it's crowned. This is the place where the bride gathers under this altar. In the tabernacle, that's the representation. Many people have asked me that question over time to say, but my grandmother was Pentecostal and she died, or my father was a denomination believer and he died. Where is he now? He's under this altar. If he was saved, if he lived according to what he knew, if he didn't reject the message of the hour, if God blinded him because it wasn't his portion, the message, he's in the same place as those blinded Jews are, waiting for the white throne judgment. But to the bride, we don't go to that place. The prophet never went to that place. I'll read you a couple of quotes just to confirm it as we close. The prophet says that when he's speaking about being beyond the curtain of time, he says, they said he will come someday. And he will come to you first and you will be judged. The judgment seat of Christ. So when he comes with the theophanies. He catches those people away, takes us that are alive together and we're judged at the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment of rewards. He says, and then we go back to earth and take our bodies. The prophet says, I never thought about that before. Then we go back to earth and take our bodies. Then we eat. We don't eat and neither do we sleep. You see, he says, see, they were right under the altar, waiting for the coming of Christ.
Amen.
Right under the altar. Their bodies sleeping in the dust will be raised up again. He'll raise us up like Jesus came through paradise, brought up Abraham, Isaac, all of them, waiting for the first resurrection. They entered into the city and appeared to many.
Amen.
So Jesus came. So those that were down there in paradise, they couldn't yet go into this place here. They were in paradise. So when Jesus died and the perfect blood was shed, Jesus went down to paradise, collected Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob,
Amen.
The prophets and their people, and he put them in the same place there
Hallelujah.
Where our prophets waiting with the people.
Amen.
And they're waiting for the coming of Christ. And there's multitudes of people, billions of people,
hey.
In the fifth dimension, the regions of the lost,
Hi.
Just waiting for judgment.
Amen.
A fearful looking forward to of judgment. Fiery indignation. Yeah, that's what they know they're lost. But there's other people waiting. They were blinded. But they played their part. And they're waiting in another place, under the altar, under this altar, for the coming of Christ.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But through the millennium, the rest of the dead lived not for 1,000 years. They stay under there. And then they're raised at the end. And then they're ushered into eternal life. Our friends, it's a glorious thing. Let's finish with one scripture. We only got a little bit. We'll finish next time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Amen.
That's how Paul says this to us. We'll close with this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the first 5 verses. This is the feeling of a believer. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house that is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. Remember the man who came to the wedding feast in the parable? He didn't have a wedding garment. And they said, friend, how did you come in here like that? And they took him and threw him out into outer darkness. Our friends, you've got to be ministered into your wedding garment.
Amen.
God has to come and the cherubim have to come and he's got to issue something to you to minister you to that place. You don't want to be found naked on that day. Verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed. That's Laodicea. They're groaning to be unclothed. But clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life.
Amen.
Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also has given us the earnest of the Spirit.
Amen.
So we have the white robe, and we're waiting for the wedding garment. We're waiting for the theophany to clothe us, so we can go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Friends, like Brother George was saying, there's glorious things ahead for us.
Amen.
There's glorious things ahead for the sons and daughters of God if we're willing to enter the kingdom through tribulation.
Amen.
To go through the scoffers and the mockers and all the different people and to stay at the tree of life.
Yes, sir.
To continue to partake, to yield ourselves unto this great eagle anointing as it ushers us all the way to the throne. Friends, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them.
Amen.
I'm sure you're the same. Let's stand.
Amen.
Let's sing that song. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Thank you, Lord.
One of them.
Amen.
One of them.
Amen. One of them.
So glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Aren't you glad you can say you are one of them?
I'm so glad that I can see.
Let's sing about him and let's sing about ourselves. They come from the east and west. They come from the lands of fire.
Amen.
They come from the east and west. They come from the lands of fire. To face with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims
are. How blessed these pilgrims are.
Let's sing one more sense before we come to pray. Just really be considering though as we sing. Where will you be on that day? No, like the prophet says, if we could only realize the day we're living in.
Amen.
Friends, we're so far already in the rapture cycle.
Hallelujah.
The rapture cycle started 50 years ago.
Yes, Lord.
The shout, the voice, the trump.
Amen.
It's already in, everything's in process. We're waiting for certain things, but so Amen. Many things have already gone so far advanced. The prophet says, that's why people will say, but we thought Elijah was supposed to come. And he says, he's already come, he's already done his work, but you didn't know it. But friends, the Bible says we are not of the night. Yeah?
Amen.
That day should take Amen. Us unaware, but we are children of the day. Because he shines the light of his grace, the light of his knowledge upon us. Let's appreciate him for what he does.
Amen.
Let's sing that song. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. I just want to address it firstly to those that have not put on the robe of righteousness yet. That you're still in your sin. You're still under the judgment and the condemnation of God. And if your soul today left that body,
yes, sir.
Amen.
There's no way,
yes, sir,
it could go beyond the veil.
Oh, yes, Father.
There's no way it could go beyond the curtain of time.
Yes.
You're not represented anywhere in the tabernacle.
Yes.
But today, that can change.
Amen.
The Bible says today, if you hear His voice,
hallelujah.
My voice means nothing.
Yes, Lord.
But it's His voice that counts. It's the voice behind the voice. If there's something that's spoken to your soul today, and you know that you're not in the condition that you should be, it's not a difficult thing, my friend.
Amen.
The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the same shall be saved.
Amen.
Jesus died for your salvation. Jesus paid the price for your sin.
Amen.
Jesus took your guilt and your iniquity upon Himself.
Amen.
He finished the work on the cross through His death, His burial, and then His resurrection. And He offers it to you today. And all He wants you to do is to respond. Now the devil will lie to you. He'll say, put it off to another day. He'll say, not today. He'll say, oh, what will your friends say? He'll say, but you're too young. He'll say, oh, you'll have to give up this, that, and that. Don't worry about those things.
Amen.
The same one who calls you, just like Brother Wilmer was testifying, if God asks you to do something, He'll provide all you need to get the job done.
Amen.
So if He asks you to do something, all He wants you to do is just let there be a decision made in your soul. Let your heart make a decision. I'll say, Lord, you are right and I'm wrong. I need you, or I need you.
Amen.
I'm wrong. I'm a sinner. I'm sinful. I'm unclean. I'm defiled.
Hallelujah.
And the same grace that came and met Isaiah in that condition and ushered him all the way to the mercy seat will be the
Hallelujah.
Same grace that will help you step by step become what you're supposed to be. So as we pray, you call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And whatever the needs we have, saints, let's keep Sister Rachel's young brother in prayer as the Lord is near. Let's speak to him. The prophet says, how do you not know that you might be the one who says the right thing? So let's remember that little boy in prayer as we come before the Lord. Let's put ourselves before the
Father,
Lord.
Father, we thank Thee, O God, for Your goodness. We thank Thee for grace. We thank Thee, Lord, even for that open channel this morning. Father, that Lord, Father, by Your grace, we, Lord Savior, have, Lord Savior, Father, O God, generated, Lord, such an atmosphere, even upon this day, in the ministry of the Word. Father, how faithful You are. Father, to give us, Lord Savior, such a word. Lord, guide us, Lord Savior. Sustain us, Lord. And hear us now, Lord, we pray. Father, remembering, Lord, the brethren there as well. Father, give grace, Lord, we pray. Even in these, the closing days of time. Father, we pray, Father, for my brother, Lord Savior, shout, Lord. Father, Lord, in his needs, Lord. Father, you supply, Lord Savior, we pray. Father, Lord, you lead us now. You guide us, Lord Savior, and be that that we require. That, Lord, when we come back Wednesday, we come with thanksgiving and praise in thine house. In Jesus' name we pray.
Lord, oh Lord. Let's sing that song, Peace in the Valley. Just ask Brother Will if he'd come to pray for us to close the service. Peace in the Valley. There'd be peace in the valley for you.
Peace in the valley. Father, your name, Lord, oh, it is indeed the sweetest name. Oh, it's just so bad when we hear the people in the world, Lord, using this name in vain. But to us, Lord, it means everything. Oh, and we love that name, Lord, for if we consider the things that you have done for us, Lord, that you should blind your own, Lord, that, Father, we could have a chance, Lord. We are so thankful for that. This afternoon, oh God, that Father, you gave me a chance. Yes. Not only that, yes. Lord, but also you made me a partner with you, oh God, yes. in this work, Father. What a wonderful thing that you have done for us. And Lord, oh God, for us not to even esteem it, Lord, we pray that you be merciful unto us, Lord. Father, help us today, oh God. having heard thy word, Lord, having considered, Lord, the things that are around us, Lord, and seeing the lateness of the hour, oh, I pray, Father, that you may send a full realization unto our hearts, Lord. Father, that we may fully realize the hour that we are living in, Lord, that we may fully realize the motives, Lord, and the purposes of the enemy against us. Lord, help us to realize, oh God, the love, Lord, and the grace that you have shown unto us, for us, for even to hear this message today, Lord. What grace, oh God. Father, for there are many people running to and from, looking, Lord, to hear the truth. Father, they cannot find it because you have not opened it to them, Father. But you have shown us such grace, Lord, that we could sit and hear these things, Lord. Oh, I pray that you may help us, that it would not only be head knowledge, Lord, but that it may be a revelation, Lord, that it would inspire us, Lord, Father, to take up this gospel. Take it, Lord, to those that are lost, Lord, Father, to bring them to the kingdom. Oh, Lord, be merciful and help us, Lord, that in our hearts there may be a desire, Lord, that in our hearts, Lord, we may desire to bring this message to the neighbor, Lord, Father, to the classmate and to the workmates, Lord. Father, help us never to neglect it, Lord, for it is thy great commission unto us, Father. And Lord, that also our lives may reflect this word, that we may be truly the living sons of God, that when the world would look, they will see, Lord, the written epistles right in our lives. Oh, help us, Father, to submit and to obey you, Lord, that, Father, your word may become flesh in us, Father. Lord, grant us grace, Lord, as we go our separate ways. I pray for every brother, every sister, Lord, every child in our midst, Lord, that you may keep them safe, Lord, until we would meet again. Bless our dear pastor, Lord, having labored, Lord, Father, to bring these things to your people. Lord, let it not be in vain, but that that word would achieve what you have sent it for today, oh God. We thank you, Father, for your grace. May you bless him and his family. Lord, remembering even the little boy that is sick somewhere, the devil desiring to take his life, Lord. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that, Lord, you may visit him, Lord, that you may heal him. Oh God, I commit him into your hands, that one day, oh God, he may even walk through the doors of this church to the glory of your name. Lord, may he grow up one day to be a minister of thy word, if you should tarry, Lord. Oh, we pray, believing, oh God, that he is already healed. Father, oh God, we ask for every other child in here that is coughing, Lord, that you may heal them also. Lord, and those that are in the valley of decision, oh Lord, Father, may you speak to them once more. Lord, let them have no rest in their hearts, Lord, until they have obeyed thy word. Please, Lord, we pray for them, Lord. And may you help us, Lord, that we may help them to be your word, to be your voice unto them, Father. Constantly we pray. Please be merciful, Lord, even unto our sister going back to South Africa. Lord, we pray for her that you bless her. Lord, oh God, what a work she has done to raise a son, Lord, that would preach thy word. I pray, Lord, that you keep her reward in heaven. Please, Father, Lord, oh God, we commit her journey to you. Keep her safe, oh God. Father, you know the needs of your people. Even as we depart from here, Lord, help us, Father, to meditate on these things. Father, to keep the services coming in mind, Lord, before you, Lord, that you may bring the word that would continue from here to bring us into the place where you want us to be. Remembering Brother Maxwell's son, Lord, have mercy, Lord, and Father, we pray that you provide, Lord, Father, for you never take away without having something better. Lord, we are believing it, Lord, that Father would hear the end of this testimony and that it would be great, oh God. Please, Father, be with us now. Bless your people, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that song as we just sing. Nations are breaking, Israel's awakening. The day of redemption is here.
Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. Signs of the
angels bow before heaven and earth adore. What a mighty God is our Lord. What a mighty God is our Lord. What a mighty God is our Lord. Angels bow before heaven and Jesus is the power. Jesus is the power. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. Jesus is the power.